The story goes that the Gaon Mevilna's wife was going one day collecting money for the tzedakot, and she was going with her friend, and they made a deal with themselves. They said, whoever gets to Olam HaEmet first will come down to their friend and tell them what's going on in Olam HaEmet. And the friend died first and came down to the wife of the Gaon and said, I know we made a deal that will come down to each other, but I cannot tell you what's going on in Olam HaEmet. But you have to know one thing, that the sakhar is very great. And then he says, she says, and you remember that night that we were in the cold night and collecting money for tzedakah? So the yatomim and almanot. She says, yeah, I remember that night. You cannot imagine the reward we got for that night. Just for going to collect some money for the aniyin, the reward in Olam Haba for that night is immeasurable. She says, okay, I'm glad to hear that. She says, not only that, you remember when we got to a certain house, we were looking for the address, and when we found the address, you got excited and you went, oh, there it is. You pointed, you said, there it is. So I remember. You cannot imagine how much more reward you got for that one extra motion, for that one extra action. It's immeasurable how much more reward you got from me than me. What do we learn from this? We learn from this a great lesson from this story. That everything that a man does on earth makes a roshim in the shamayim. There's nothing that happens on earth that doesn't have a repercussion in the upper olamot. Even something so insignificant as just a lady going, oh, there's the address. That point on earth is not considered something significant. But in heaven, since that was for the tzorech mitzvah, was for a purpose of a mitzvah, she pointed because she was excited for the mitzvah, not only is there a reward, but the lady said it's immeasurable, the difference. That means every little extra thought or action or effort that a person makes in the mitzvah, the reward grows exponentially. Like the rabbis say many times, that if a person buys a 5-carat diamond, and let's say, I don't know how much diamonds cost, let's say a 5-carat diamond costs $10,000, let's say. As a mashal, I'm giving a rare, I don't know the numbers, bichlal. Let's say it's $10,000. Now you have a 6-carat diamond. So we don't say, oh, add another carat, so now it'll be $6,000. Or $11,000. No, every carat that you add, the number grows exponentially. But the yield, it's not the commensurate. 7 carats is not $14,000, it becomes $40,000. Similarly, every time a little measure is added to a mitzvah, we don't just, okay, give me an extra 50 cents. No, the whole mitzvah changes. That's why we always say, when we learn the Kavanot and the Amidah and the Tefillah, what am I going to get benefit? I cannot have all this in mind. You're right, you cannot have it all. And we don't expect you to have it all in mind. But even if you take one Kavanah and you drop it into the Amidah, or you drop it into the Tefillah, or your eyes are wandering in the Siddur and you see one Kavanah, it's a different Tefillah. Even though you might not feel the difference on earth, but from that story you learn that everything that Klal Yisrael does has a tremendous roshem in the Shamayim. And that's why the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Heve Zahir b'mitzvah kana. The Mishnah says that you have to be Zahir in mitzvah kana. What is mitzvah kala? Mitzvah kala is even a small mitzvah. Because they're saying, they're teaching you, there is no such thing as a small mitzvah. Although to you it seems kala, but since it has an effect in the Shamayim, so it's kala to you, but it's not kala to Shamayim. You know what it would be like if somebody was doing a very delicate, a surgeon was doing a very delicate surgery in the brain, and he has to make a little, these are microscopic cuts that they're making. The brains, everything is so close to each other. So he makes a little, you can't even measure it, it's less than a millimeter. They make a little cut, and they make a little procedure, and they close the guy up. Now that little procedure, if you're going to measure it according to what he did, so what did he do? Less than a millimeter. Yeah, but that little procedure of less than a millimeter saved the guy's life. The guy, that little move gave him 50 years. So you see, it's not commensurate. Maybe you, commensurate to what the doctor did, he said, what did he do? It was like a goal. All he did is not even an inch, much less than an inch. So for that, he needs, and he charges $1 million for this operation. For what? We don't measure the job that he did. The result is far-reaching. Similarly, when it comes to mitzvot, even a mitzvah kala has a tremendous level to reach in the Shamayim. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains it because the Jewish neshama is made up of two parts. There's neshama tachtona and there's neshama aliona. Everybody's neshama is, part of it is in his body, in his brain, of course, and the other part is in the Shamayim. And it says in the Pasuk, Yaakov Hevel Nahalato. The Chaim V'Lazin says, Yaakov Hevel. Yaakov is referring to the neshama, and the neshama is like a hevel, it's like a rope attached to it. Now when you have two people holding onto a rope, when one guy shakes the rope, automatically the rope is going to have a reverberation of the other side. Even if it's far away, even if a guy's holding a rope in New York City, and 3,000 miles away the guy's holding the end of the rope in Los Angeles, when the guy in New York goes like this, it'll take a few minutes. But eventually the guy in Los Angeles, he feels a tug, he feels a movement. Where does this come from? The guy in New York did it. In Shamayim it's the same thing. Our neshamot are connected. So any little movement of the neshama on earth is going to create, it doesn't take any time. It happens in a second. Because this is happening in the speed of light, faster. Now therefore, in the moment something happens on earth with the neshama, boom! The neshama has a tug in the shaman. So does it matter if the guy in New York went like this? Oh, he just shook it lightly? Doesn't matter. Any movement is going to produce movement. So similarly in mitzvot, any level of mitzvah, even we call it a mitzvah kala, is going to produce a great movement. Now, I'm sorry to tell you, that hu adin when it comes to averot. What do you think, it's only one side? Just like the mitzvot create a roshem and a shamayim, averot unfortunately also have a repercussion in the shamayim. That's able to make a chorban and great destruction. And not only big averot, even small averot have the ability today to make great destruction. And people have a hard time understanding how can something small have the ability to have such a great destruction. Well, we know today that you could destroy half the world with one atom. All you have to do is split one atom and you'll destroy half the world with it. So it doesn't have to be a big thing. It's even something very small is able to bring a great destruction. So even a small avera, but it's even more than that. That's why the Mishnah says, Heve zahir b'mitzvah kala kebahamura. And then it says, and run away from Avera. Which type of Avera? It's talking about the same Avera that the Mitzvah was talking about. That's the way the rabbi says it. The love of the rabbi explains like that. He said, which type of Avera? The Avera Kitana, the small Avera. Why? Because even a small avera has a tremendous roshim in the shamayim. Jews have this ability. When they ask of Chaim V'Lazin, it says in the Gemara that Titus went into the Kodesh Kodashim and he took a sefer Torah lo aleinu v'alechem and he sprawled it out and he took a zonah lo aleinu and he committed the avera with the zonah in the Kodesh Kodashim. Now, as horrible as that sounds, Rav Chaim V'Lazin said he did nothing. That's like a dog walking into the Kodesh Kodashim and defecating, so he cleaned it up, but he did nothing. It only looks like on earth that he did something, but in Shamayim, he's not connected. So his neshama, so it did nothing. He says, much worse if a Yehudi has an avera in his heart, that does more damage than what he does. We don't look at it. Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, I did a little avera. But you're connected. You know, which means, it's very, very simple, very simple. If a guy has a bomb, and how does he detonate the bomb? He pushes the button. So he pushes the button, and the button makes the circuit, and it blows up Hiroshima, Nagasaki, by pushing the button. The button is connected. So you have one guy that all he did was push a button. Then you have another guy who has an axe in his hand, and he's with the axe, banging and banging. You know, who did more damage? Mm-hmm. Who did more damage? The guy who pushed the button or the guy who did the axe? The axe is not connected to anything. What do you do? So he made some marks on the, not even that. But the guy who pushed the button did much worse. So our neshamot are connected to an upper world. So therefore, any time there's a malfunction in the neshama here, it creates a short circuit in the neshamayim as well. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, "Yebezahir the mitzvah kala kebahamorat." To be zahir in mitzvot, even the small ones, "Veboreyach min avera." Which type of avera? The avera that we just mentioned, avera kala. But that's the lesson of the day today, that our actions make Oroshim in Shamayim. I have a sefer over here. The sefer is called Ach Peri Tevuah. Ach Peri Tevuah is Rabbi Svi Hirsch, Abed Din Kadosh of Liska. Okay, it's a famous sefer, the Darshanim, well known. So he has a derash on Parashat Vayetzeh. Parashat Vayetzeh, he delves into something that most people don't discuss. It's a one paragraph item. His discussion is over here. When Yaakov Avinu was staying by Laban's house, it says he got paid in sheep. And he got paid specifically, Yaakov asked for the sheep that are speckled and spotted and ringed. So he asked, why didn't Yaakov just say, I want the white sheep? Why did he specifically ask to get paid in spotted sheep? That's his question. A white sheep is much nicer. Get a white, clean sheep and finish. Nobody want a freckled sheep, a sheep with spots on it. So he says, Omnam, Achshav yatzati lehadesh be'ezrat Hashem. I came out to say hadush. Dine, Mahmad de'olam nevra hefek ha-Torah. אם כן אפילו משהו בעל מה שיעשו ישראל יהיה רשומם ניכר. This is an amazing thing. He says, whenever you put opposites, opposites cause each other to stand out. What does it mean? If let's say you have a white suit, so a black spot on the white suit stands out, but the opposites, or reverse, a white spot on a black suit. Since they're opposites, so therefore it causes it to stand out. Whereas black on black or white on white, you don't see. So therefore he says, Hu adin, that Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are opposites. They're opposites. So anything that's going to be done in Olam Hazeh is going to make a big impression regarding like Olam Haba, because there's a contrast, like you said, between them. He says the mashal, כמו שאם אדם כותב על נייר לבן בדיו שחור. When a guy writes on a white piece of paper and he writes black, so the letter is like the cloth on the Sefer Torah. You can even see it when they from far. You see there's black letters on the Sefer. כל נקודה ונקודה יהיה ניכר משום דהו הופכו. Everything is going to be noticeable because it's the reverse. וכן כל המצוות שיעשו ישראל, everything that Am Yisrael does is going to be a roshim. It's going to leave an effect somewhere. Ubaze yesh tefaresh gam devre chazal ala pasuk anuchi Hashem Elohecha. When God gave the Torah, it says anuchi. So the Gemara says, what does anuchi stand for? Anuchi anan nafshi ketivat yehavit. God says, Anan nafsi, I myself, ketivat yehavit, I wrote you a Torah. Da'inu ha-ratzon shel ha-borei yitbarach yeh nikar ba'olam, which means anan nafsi is the ratzon of Hashem. Anan nafsi, my ratzon, ketivat yehavit, will be like something that's written. That anytime somebody does it, it's on Hashem, it's as if it's written. I mean, there's a Roshem. Anam Nafsi, God says, you did something that's connected to the Son Hashem, Anam Nafsi, Nafsi is Ratzon. You fulfill my will in any which way, Ketivah Yehavit. There's a Roshem over there, and that's part over there. And that's why the Arizal said, a remnant to this, that don't treat it lightly. That after a person takes off his tefillin, and you see the marks over there, those marks are very holy. Those are the Roshem of the mitzvah. These over here, the marks of the tefillin can protect the guy the whole day long. Just because they have a trace of a mitzvah on your body. Now, that's besides the trace that it leaves in Shamayim. You don't see it. That's the problem. We don't see these traces. We say, oh, we did something. We're expecting to see a bolt of lightning come out of Shamayim or some type of... nobody's talking about it. Nobody says nothing. But we only know, Ana Nafshi, Ketiba Yavit. So then he says, the big Hiddush, Velefizeh, Bahar Yaakov, Gamken, Shehatson Shelo, Yeh Menukadim. Therefore, he wanted the sheep to be spotted. Velo b'mar'e echad lechud. Shehu remez la Torah shi'asu banav. Am Yisrael is compared to a sheep. Sef is Ulah Yisrael. So when Yaakov Abinu was making these inyanim with the sheep, he was making ma'aseh avot siman nabarim for b'nei Yisrael. So he wanted to show that Am Yisrael, you have the ability to stand out. That you're able to make neshamim. When you see a black spot on a white sheep, you say, oh, the very nikar. Am Yisrael, you have that ability. You have that ability to leave your mark. You have the ability to leave an impression. How do you have the ability to leave an impression? By doing averot. Both ways. You cannot say it one way without saying it the other way, unfortunately. You cannot say that you can do all the mitzvot, and they reach Roshim and averot don't hit. If the wise are connected, they're connected both ways. If they're not connected, they're not connected either way. So therefore, the lesson is great. Now, the Yetzer Hara is very, very, very shrewd. Yetzer Hara says that he doesn't want you to do even a mitzvah kala. Why doesn't he want you to do even a mitzvah kala? For the simple reason. Because he knows that if you do mitzvah kala, already it's a big thing. We only call it mitzvah kala because to us it's kala, but it's not kala. And there's going to be a tremendous roshim. There's going to be a roshim aneshama. And from a mitzvah kala already comes mitzvah goreret mitzvah. Mitzvah gorer mitzvah means that a small mitzvah is able to gorer a big mitzvah. So the Yetzer will always try to stop you even from doing a small item. And what does the Yetzer come and tell you? Man, that's okay, it's nothing. It's nothing. Now, to me, that's the greatest proof that it's something. Because why did he go out of his way to tell me it's nothing? I just told you something very big over here. Which means, why is there a Yetzer Hara on small things? I told you the story of the professor, that when the guy told him, we'll give you a promotion as long as you give up your Judaism. Oh, yeah. So what did the guy answer? He said, I can't give up something I don't know anything about. So first let me go learn it, then I'll make a decision if I want to give it up or not. It wouldn't be prudent for me to give up something I know nothing about. And then he said, but I'm very suspicious, because the fact that you're asking me to give it up must be very valuable. He's even without knowing what it is, from the fact that you're making such a big deal out of it, what do you know about my Judaism that I don't know about? So right away, I think you're telling me it's expensive. See what he said? So similarly over here, when the Yetzer Hara comes and tells a guy, that's a small thing. A guy's lazy. He's sitting down to eat. Should he get up to make the Tzedakah Shadayim? The sink is 2 feet away. It's a big trip to get up from the seat to go wash. Like in the old days, you have to go to the well. You have to go to the sink and make that dime. But it's a tirha to get up and wash your hands and dry your hands. So here's what I'm telling you, just do me a favor. Your hands are clean anyway. You're not, that's older days they made that dime. Your hands are clean. You're not, you just went to the, all excuses. And then what happens? He gets you, and what's his selling point? It's only a small item. But then you have to answer back. So if it's so small, why are you talking me out of it then? Why does it bother you then? That's the proof that it's not small. You understand what I'm saying?
Why going out of your way?
Bidiyuk, which means, what do you care if it's worthless? So let me go back to Yadayim. Ela must be, you know something about this that I don't know. Me'oyevai tehakemeni mitzvotecha. Which means, from my enemy, the Yetzer Hara, tehakemeni, I learned how great the mitzvot are. Because he wouldn't waste his breath to talk me out of it. And by the way, must be that an avera kala is also a big thing. Because if the Yetzer Hara seduces me to make an avera kala, must be there's a value in avera kala. So therefore, wherever he is, he only deals with value. He doesn't deal with things that have no importance. So that wherever he's coming to attack you, you know he's coming to attack you on something that has a shovi. So he's coming to tell you that Yaakov didn't want to give you Musar. Those spotted sheep represent the roshim that Am Yisrael is able to have when it comes to all the mitzvot. Now, the Gemara says clearly that when God's asking Am Yisrael to get close to Him, God says all you have to do is make a little opening for me. They call that pithoshel mahat. A pinhole. That's the smallest hole they could think of. They didn't have these micro machines in those days to make it. A pinhole was the smallest hole they could imagine. So they said, for the or to come into your neshama, you just need to make a little, which means even a small mitzvah already could start the process. God forbid, if somebody is choking, he doesn't have air, so they try to get him out to breathe, then they have to make a little hole in the trach to get the air to start coming through, and then they save his life. You need to make a little piercing into the neshama. It doesn't matter. I don't even know what's the smallest mitzvah. Kipitoshel mahat, that means the government of his wife. That little excitement for a mitzvah already is kipitoshel mahat. That already small item can resurrect the whole person. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you how far it goes, this Petoshel Mahat. You remember the story of Rahav? Rahav was a lady, she was in Eretz Yisrael, Rahav Azona. It's Mahlok, what does it mean, Rahav Azona. Either she had a kiosk or she was Mamazona. And the spies went in, the two spies, Yeshua and, Kalev and Pinchas. They came into Eretz Israel and they went to the Rahav Azona's house. And the Rahav gave them all the information. They're scared. Everybody's shaking. Don't worry. It's all a facade. They're crying about what's going to happen. So they got good news. So they told the Rahav, you gave us good news. You harbored us. You saved them from the... They were on the radar. So they blessed them. We're going to save you and all that stuff. So what happens? She's a Rahav Azona. Why did she know what's going on? Because all the Gedolim were by her, all the senators, and nothing changed. So you see over here what happened. What happened? She says, nah, you got to get out of here. She got to get out of here. Bidiyuk. So she takes a rope. She has a rope, and she sends it out the back window, and she escapes out the back window. Beautiful. So then, all of a sudden, Rahav has like a moment of inspiration there. Eventually, Rahav would convert. Mm-hmm. She would become Jewish. She would become so Jewish that she ends up marrying Yehoshua ben Nun. Wow. This is like unbelievable. The biggest rebbe in his life. And she was, Ba'alat Teshuvah, Nahayza. So it says, where did she come? How did she resurrect herself, this girl? Whatever happened? How did she go from Zonah to become a mother that's going to produce prophets? Rahav produced prophets. The Gemara Megillah. Huh? Yeah, 7 prophets came from Rahav. How? So she says to God, the Ribono Shel Olam, in the zechut of the rope at the window, please, forgive me. Forgive me for all what I did. So the rabbi says, hold on. Rahav, we understand your point. You basically want to say, listen, you're regretting on what you did. Say simple. In the zechut that I saved these two tzaddikim, let there be a kapara. What is she getting involved in the the rope in the window. It's not the rope in the window. Rope in the window were
the tool for the
exactly. They were details. The point is what? The rope in the window? The point is you saved these two tzaddikim and you risked your life. God said it's like the goyim that saved the Jews in the Holocaust. Saved me because of the attic? Not the attic. It's the I saved the Jews. What is he? And it says the schut, the heaven, and the halon. I saw an unbelievable hadush from Shimon Schwab in the Sefer Mayam Ben Shoeva. It's something incredible. He said that every Baruch Abba. He says every single Jew and every person for that matter, there's a certain goodness that every person has. There's a Tzelem Elokim, there's an image of God, even the Goyim have Tzelem Elokim. And even the person that went to the lowest level, today we would say rock bottom, he reached the lowest levels of Tum'ah, where you would think, that's it, he's in there. Point of no return.
No shot.
So we believe there's never no shot. Because, like, remember the old ovens used to have that pilot light?
Yeah.
The old ovens. The pilot light never went out. You light it, and boom, it extinguishes. But that light always stays. There's a pilot light inside every neshama that always, now it gets covered with ashes and soot and garbage, but it can never be extinguished. So therefore, you always have to try to get to that light. If you can return to that original light, to the goodness of every Jew, or every person in this case, you'll be able to bring them back. You'll be able to resurrect them. It's an amazing principle. Therefore, no matter what a person did, I told you the story of the Benish I said, with Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha was a big rabbi. He had a breakdown at some point in his life, this guy, Elisha. And he became Mechalel Shabbat. It says he went with a zonah. He picked up a radish on Shabbat. Every Yisun Atzerai, he went off the derech. Riding a horse on Shabbat. That's what he did on Shabbat. He used to go equestrian. Horseback riding on Shabbat. That was the smallest of his sins. He did a big Averot. Anyway, his student was Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes, the great Rabbi Meir. That's his student. So Rabbi Meir tells him one time, listen, my great rabbi, make teshuvah. Everybody can make teshuvah. He says, no. Rabbi Meir, you don't know everything. I was in the Beit HaMikdash one day walking behind the Kodesh Kodashim and I heard a voice. Ah, what was the voice? Shuvu banim shuvavim chutz me'Elisha ben Avuya. Everybody can make teshuvah except for Elisha. So I heard the voice. And the voice specifically boxed me out. The voice told me everybody can come back except me. So therefore I'm the exception. So the Beni Chai says, so what do you want from Elisha? He heard it. It said it. That wasn't magic. It wasn't an hallucination. He heard it. But what's the question to Gemara? You heard wrong. He heard right. And yeah. So what do you want? So he comes along and says to me, That was his test. Don't believe that. That's Yetzer Hara. That's Yetzer Hara talking. Yetzer Hara tells you, you're finished. You're finished. You think God cares about you anymore? God doesn't care about you. God hates your guts. So you might as well go enjoy yourself. Because no matter what you do, you're off the list. That's Yetzer Hara telling you that. But that's not God. And he says the Ben Ish Chai. That's what the Gemara means. Kol ma she'omer lecha ba'al ha'bayit aseh, chutz miseh. That whatever, you go to somebody's house, you go to a Baal HaBayit's house, you go to a guy's house, whatever the Baal HaBayit tells you, kol ma she'omer lecha ba'al ha'bayit aseh, whatever he tells you, you have to listen to. If he says, please take, eat something, dedicate it. No, I'm not going to eat, dedicate it. You invite him down, eat something, take it, put it in your plate, play around with it, just be a kavod. Chutz miseh. Unless he tells you, get out. Now, what does that mean? Of course, that can't mean that. The Gemara doesn't mean that. It means if he tells you to do something out of your normalcy. If you come into the guy's house, do me a favor, could you take out the garbage? I don't take out the garbage in my own house. In my own house, I don't take out the garbage. I'm going to take the garbage for you? If he tells you to do something out of your
realm.
Out of your realm. Okay. What the Ben Ish Chai says, who's the Baal HaBayit?
Mm-hmm.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, "Kol ma shomer lecha ba'al habayit, whatever Hashem tells you to do, aseh. Chutz, except if you hear him say tzeh. If he tells you to go out, don't listen to him. Chutz mitzeh. Because nobody is tzeh. Nobody is banned. Even the worst guy, there's a chance for him to come back to teshuvah. So we never write off anybody. David Chaim once walked into a place and he saw this Jewish guy. I don't know how he knew he was Jewish. He was eating hazir and he was, who knows what he was doing. Nobody knew such a guy. You walk at the guy, you tell him, you're going to go to Gehenna. David Chaim sat next to the guy and he tells him, he says, I'm jealous of you. You're jealous of me? What is he jealous? Habib Aim. He said, you and the Russian army. The Russian army, they took God away from them. They took everything away from them. He says, and after what you went through in the Russian army, and you still call yourself Jewish? The fact that you were still able to maintain the name Jewish, that you didn't become a who knows what? He said, I don't know if I was in that, if I would be able to even maintain the name called Jewishness. This is what he tells him. All of a sudden the guy starts to cry. What happened? David Chaim, he knew that this guy's got a light in there. Everybody else went up to the guy. Gehinnom's not big enough for you. You're going to burn in there. David Chaim also knew he's going to burn in Gehinnom. But he said, what? Enough people told him that already. Now let me try to get some light over here. So all of a sudden he's able to tell him something. I'm jealous of you, Olam Abba. I'm jealous of your thing. What a good guy you are. He found the goodness in him. He found one good thing about him. Once he found the good thing about him, he brought him back to life. The guy made teshuva from that one conversation. Listen, I believe partly it's because it came from the Hafez Chaim. If you were to tell him, he'd become worse maybe. But the Hafez Chaim, he has Yirat Shamayim. Of course, Hafez Chaim. Why am I telling you this? The Chava Zona is the lowest lady in the world. No. The Chava Zona is the lowest lady in the world. She's the Zona of all of these people. Can I ask you a question? What is she doing in a house with a rope? What is this rope over here? What is she, a fireman? What is she? She works for the fire department? What's this rope over here? And the window, and what was it we're talking about over here? So the Midrash says that there were certain people that were embarrassed to go through the front door. So she had another entrance, so they don't catch them on the security camera coming in, they'll put it on the news the next day. So there was a back entrance over there, so she had a rope. And she would throw the rope down, and she would have a pulley system. Now they said they made a drone that picks up people. So they had a rope over there, and they pull her up. Go slow.
Maybe
you
could drop the kids to school. Right?
Watch. I'm almost finished. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm asking a question. Rahava Zona is any embarrassment? Rahava Zona, you're a shameless lady. You're a Zona. That's your name, Rahava Zona. The Gemara says, Kula Omer Rahav Rahav. Just mentioning her name already has caused the person to make Averot. She has a shame, Rahava Zona? She has any Kbusha? Zero. But the rabbis tell us that what? She understood. There's an aib over here. That she understood that there's a wrong here.
That's the spark.
That's the spark of Rahab. The fact that she had a back window and a rope. That's even though that's the spark of how she did the avera. That even in the avera that she did, you see, there was a factor of a little shame. She could have said, you come through the front door, whatever you mean. We don't go to the bed, we have nothing over here. We're not embarrassed. So she says in the Zichut, she was looking at us, of how am I going to resurrect myself? She said, I have no good. There's no good in me. There's no good in me. She's filthy lady, dirty lady. She says, there's nothing good in me. She says, she looked deep there. I said, what's good in me? I had a little shame. What are all I did? I had the rope for the people who embarrassed me. I understood that there should be a little shame in this. Borei Olam says, in that Zakkut, we're going to start to help you. From there, she became... That's why I once explained. When they say that a Chabad Zonah, how they say it? But they said, put a rope, put a red string on the window. What's the explanation? Because that's her tea, that's her item. She got saved from the hoot. That hoot over there, that string over there. And what color was the string that she put? Hamad. Huh? Hamad. Red.
Yeah.
Hoot Hashani. Because the Pasuk says, Im yu hata'achem kashani. If your sins are going to be red, like crimson, like the redness of that string, kashelig yalbinu. They'll turn white, like snow. And therefore, the Habazona at that time over there, she put the... They were saying that, in this case over here, her resurrection came from the Avirah itself. Normally, you have to make the red string white. By her resurrection was from the red string itself. She had no mitzvot to have. She had to find something good in the Avirah. So therefore, if you put a Chut HaShani, you're getting saved from the Chut HaShani. Understand? You're getting saved from, you're not getting saved from the Chut HaLavan. Normally a normal guy says, listen, I did some mitzvot. I gave charity. Okay, you did something good. Okay, from there you can raise the regular. But the Chut is nothing. So then, okay, you have nothing good. Let's look in your Averot, maybe we'll find something. Oh, we found something, eh? The rope. So therefore, Yeshua or Pinchas put Chut HaShani, which means normally we say what? We don't like to publicize Averot. Chut HaShani, we want to cover. Adrabah, this Chut HaShani, this is your banner. The Chut HaShani, we want to boast. This we put the Faresia, this we want to show everybody. This is your ticket to the tikkun. So therefore, you see, everybody has an ability to come back, and therefore we don't minimize any type of action. Even a small step towards the Borei Olam is very, very valuable. Even a small step. Even something that's marginal. Never discount a good deed. You don't know that good deed could change your life. That good deed could bring you to the... And that's what the Yetzirah knows. Once it starts, then you're bringing the order of the Shekhinah into your neshama. Once you start bringing the order into your neshama, it's going to go and it can lead to tremendous things. Mitzvah goreret. That's what it says. If you open for me a little hole of the needle, God says, I'm going to open for you a doorway, the size of the doorway of the ulam. Of the ulam. No. Of the ulam. What's the ulam?
The hall.
Which hall? The Waldorf or the PA? Which ulam? The ulam is the Beit HaMikdash. There's an ulam in the Beit HaMikdash. It's called the ulam. So the rabbis asked, in the Beit HaMikdash, there was many gates. Sha'nikanor, and Sha'aramayim, and this Sha'ar, and that Sha'ar. Go look at the, we learned it, we learned the Zebahim, and we saw the diagram. There's gates all over the place. No, but Hosh al-Ulam. So the rabbis explained, because all the gates in the Beit HaMikdash have doors, but the ulam doesn't have doors. That means the door is a wide open space where there's not even a chance to even close. That's how wide it's going to be. There's not even a door that blocks it. But Hosh al-Ulam, that means, but God, it's not commensurate. I only opened up a little hole, and you opened up, and the Yetzirah knows that. I saw brought down, the rabbi brings down amazing hadush on this. He said, You remember when Bil'am blessed the Jewish people? Or he cursed the Jewish people? So he got up on the mountain, and he sees the Jewish people, and it says, Ra'ah, she'en pitcheihem shel elu mechuvanim zu lazu. He saw that their doors are not facing each other. Simple interpretation is, he saw modesty in the way the Jewish people camp. They're not facing each other, so when a person looks out of the window, he doesn't see his neighbor's house. They build their homes in a zigzag, so everybody has their privacy. So she'en pitcheihem mechuvanim zu lazu. But the Mefarshim, he say deeper. He said, how can I curse these people? They open up a small door, petach shel machat, and a kadosh baruch hu opens against it, petcho shel olam. So he says, en petcheihem mechuvanim, their doors are not the... So therefore, Am Yisrael, even with a little action, they can get close to this. So whatever am I going to do, they can always get back. How can I curse these people if it's so easy to return? If we had to open up petach shel ulam, then the Bil'am says, forget it. How many people can open up a door? But they don't have to. It's not commensurate. We open up a small petah, and God opens up across the street a big petah. He says, yeah, you did this. You caused this big petah to open up against you. He said, I cannot curse them. Because no matter what they're going to do, it's always easy for them to make teshuvah. That's what it says. Harotzeh b'tshuvah. Hashem is rotzeh b'tshuvah. What is rotzeh b'tshuvah? He's yearning for the teshuvah. And the teshuvah doesn't have to be something big. We once explained on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and we did this last week in the Dirash, but we're saying something different now. Rabbi Akiva said, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shrechem Yisrael. V'snei mi atem mitaharim, u'mi mitahar etchem. Rabbi Akiva said, oh, Shrechem Yisrael, you're so lucky. Look who purifies you. Look who makes, look in front of who you're purifying yourself. And then he backs it up. He backs it up with Pesukim. How do we know that you're mitahir yourself in front of Hashem? Sheneimar, he quotes a pasuk, Vezarakti alechem, mayim tehorim, utartem. Veneimar, megve Yisrael Hashem. He quotes two pesukim to prove that God is our purifier. One pasuk says, the easy pasuk, mikveh, God's like a mikveh. Just like you go to the mikveh, you become pure. So Borei Olam purifies us like a mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. And then he says the pasuk, and also it says, and you will be sprinkled with this, with the waters, and utartem, and you're going to become pure. And the Mefarshim say, what do you need two pesukim, Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, we understand that the Gvei Yisrael was enough, or the other pasuk was enough. You bring me two pesukim to basically tell me the same thing. So the Mefarshim say, no, Rabbi Akiva was teaching you two ways to come back to God. There's one guy, which is a rare case, you have to be careful of this guy, but they exist. Well, all of a sudden, one day, they get hit by a bolt of lightning. And in 1 minute, boom, they make a 180. They make a 180, and that's it. I'll see you later. And the next guy, the guy's in Netzach Hamam Minyan with two tefillin on, shaking, and doing all the stuff over there. That's it. There's no remembrance of nothing. It's a full 180 going from 0 to 613 in 8 seconds. Finished, like the new car. 0 to 16, 8 seconds. Oh. And then there's another guy that he said, listen, I'd love to make the shuah, but listen, you tell me what, to go from here to there? Said, no, don't go from there. Just come to class once a week. You know, once a week, how's that going to help me? Rabbi Akiva says there's two types of teshuvah. There's one type of teshuvah of mikveh Yisrael. The mikveh, the water covers the whole person. That's the guy who jumps into the waters of Torah and he's totally immersed, he's covered it. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. But then there's another type of tahara, when you get sprinkled.
Oh,
When a person gets sprinkled, when does the water hit? One drop of water hits him. And the guy Tahor, Rabbi Akiva says, that's also Tahara. That's the Tahara of partial Tahara. That's the Tahara of do one thing for the Borei Olam. Petroli petrol shel mahad. V'zarakti alechem mayim. Badai. Because that's the teshuva for most people. Whether most people are going to what? Most people are going to jump into it. You know what? Do, like I told you earlier, the Mashgiach told me once. It's amazing and douche. The Mashgiach told me once, when I told him I'm starting to teach young guys, so where do I begin with them? He said, first of all, just bring them to a class once a week. Don't preach to them anything, just teach them Torah. And that's it. I have a rabbi, the other nights of the week, they're fooling around. All you have to do is just sprinkle them with a little of the Torah, and already there's a purification that took place. And slowly, slowly, the Torah will do its job. Like it says, Or Sheba Mahdira Lemutav. The light of Torah is a very powerful light, Rabotai. It's a very powerful light. We had a guy in Ahayat the Torah Center. He's a kid. He was in, I don't know which college he was in, Kingsborough, or Baruch, or Arur, whatever he was in. So he's in the college. I don't know if you remember, in the Torah Center, a certain period, we started to learn Sanhedrin. After Shacharit, Tuvi was part of it, Jimmy Hannon was part of it, a couple of guys joined the Sanhedrin class. It was a post-Gemara. The guys who weren't up for the early morning Gemara, we started Sanhedrin. 6-7 guys sitting around the table, and we're doing it. This guy floated in. This kid from my heard, oh, there's a class at 9 o'clock, whatever, Gemara. He doesn't start college till 10. He went. He sat. The guy went nuts. The guy went nuts. What is this Gemara here? What is this? You know, this Lachmom is his grandson. Jack. Jack. He came in, the guy. What is this here? I didn't tell him nothing. Just keep on coming, go to college, do whatever you want. Just keep on coming to the Sanhedrin class. The guy got so excited, all of a sudden you're watching the Or of the Torah. Transformed the guy slowly, 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 slowly. The guy today, he's bigger than me, this guy. He's Israel. He's teaching in Yeshiva Gedola. He teaches Judah's rabbi. I tell him, Judah, ask the rabbi. He says, I don't have to ask him, so he says all day long. He says, that kid from the Sanhedrin class over there, guy saved my life. Changed his life. So you see what? The Torah is a trip. Now, you tell the guy, that wasn't a full changeover. It was one hour a week, or 1 hour, there was one once a week class, by the way, or twice a week class. It wasn't that every day. From there, he didn't make a 180. He could come in once a week, boom, put a drop on him. This is what we said over here. The rabbis give him mashal. What's the mashal? There was a king that his son went off the path. And he committed a lot of acts of disobedience. So the king banished him. But the king loves his son. You miss your children. You love your children. Even they go, they're bad. You love your kids. They're your kids. So he's looking for an excuse to bring him back. So he's waiting for the kid to do something, even if it's the smallest thing where he could say, oh, you see, he's there, he changed. All right, bring him back. A father, he just wants to see even a...
Just give me a reason.
Let you, a small inkling. So anyway, he just wants to see a small inkling. So what happens? So he says, bring him back. So Borei Olam is all the more so. Borei Olam loves us more than a father loves a son. God loves us 24 hours a day. Our father only loves us when he's up. When he's sleeping, he can't love us. Hashem loves us 24 hours a day. So therefore what? Even if he sees us doing something a little good, he says, he's a good boy. Bring him back. He's a good boy. These are the weeks of Shogavim, Rabotai. These are the weeks where we have the ability to... Pasuk says, Abraham, Zaken, Ba, Bayamin, Ba, Hashem, Berach, Abraham, Bakol. Abraham's blessing was what? Bakol. So the Pharisees say, what is Bakol? You learn Bakol everything. But Bakol can mean anything. Kol Shehu. Kol anything. Kol Shehu. Kol Dehu. The greatness of Abraham was, Hashem Berach Abraham. Why? Because Bakol. He was makpir on everything. The small things, the big things. There was no... Because he knew from the small things come the big things. And from the small Avera comes the big Avera. And that's why Borei Olam says, and we'll conclude with this. V'item li segula. God says, I want you to be to me a treasure. V'item li segula. So the rabbis ask, what's the li? It should say, V'item segula. And you will be a segula. To me, of course to me. So the Midrash says, God says, I'm the biggest one in the world and you're the smallest one in the world. What's the biggest letter in the alphabet? Lamed. What's the smallest letter in the alphabet? The Yud. So God says, V'item li. I'm the biggest like the Lamed, you're the smallest like the Yud. Doesn't matter. I still attach myself. But Hakamim say better. Hakamim say, if you want God to attach yourself, you don't have to do big things. Even if you do something like a small Yud, even if you did something that's davar katan, Borei Olam says, really, I attach myself to you. And these are the things, especially now we're talking about Inyane, Kedusha, V'tahara. These things are very, very powerful. If Rahab HaZonah, who was the epitome of Tum'ah, can get closer to God from a rope that she used for Znut, that was her savior. Kabahomer, Ben Benoshim Kabahomer, that we can resurrect ourselves through a little extra addition of Kedusha, a little extra Shemirat Ta'inayim, a little extra not having to go and look. Baruch Hashem, Shavim always comes in the winter where the dress code has to be by force, against their will. It has to be a little better. To be a little more careful with our children, the way they dress. We're responsible for our children, the way they dress, Rabotai. When our girls leave the house, what do you think? No, the father's only responsible what? To pay tuition and to pay for the bills. The father is obligated to tell the daughter this is inappropriate over here. This is not acceptable. As long as you're living in this house, we have certain dress codes. We have certain everything. Chabaruch always would say, in America, we have a lot of Torahs, but where's the Kiddusha? The Kiddusha, unfortunately, he was raised in Jerusalem. Kiddusha Yerushalayim, Porat Yosef, is a different level. And these are the moments of the days over here that we're working on these inyanim. These are the inyanim of the Kiddusha of the Shovavim. V'item li. If you want Borei Olam with the Lamed to attach yourself, something small. And even the rabbis say, and the Kotei Moharan says, he writes a statement, he says like this, a guy comes to the rabbi and he says, how am I going to make teshuvah? Look how much I destroyed in the upper world, look how much I ruined in the upper world. I made Hiroshima and Nagasaki 1,000 times. So the Kotei Moharan says back, if you believe you have the power to destroy, you have to believe you have the power to fix. Which means you believe you're such a hashuv guy that your actions were able to destroy, so you're just as hashuv that you can fix. But if your actions reached the place of destruction, so then your actions can reach the place of tikkun. It's memalachach. If you're a dog, so then you didn't destroy, so don't worry about it. Just like you didn't destroy, you don't have to fix. But if you believe you destroyed, so then you have to believe you can stick. They go together. That's a very, very big chizuk that a person has to have. You shouldn't think it's over and it's bereft. I have no chance. So the great rabbi from Babel said on one of his ma'amarim, which is a brilliant derash, he said on this week's parasha, he said it. He said, there's a midrash in Parashat Nasor. The midrash says, that when Avraham Avinu had the guests over at his house, you remember the guests, the three angels, the Arabs, whatever they were. So everything that Avraham did at that moment over there, there was a consequence that happened to the children. There was an after effect to the children. That story has to be learned properly. Everything that happened in that episode would come out in a grandiose way to Am Yisrael. So the Midrash writes, in this week it says, "V'lakachti etchem," God says, "I'm going to take you as a nation." Yes, you know where that "V'lakachti" came from? Avraham Avinu. Where does it say Avraham Avinu "V'lakachti"? Doesn't say. But it says a similar word. When the angels came in, he said, "Yukachna me'atmayim." Ah, Yukachna. He said, "Yukachna." So God says, "V'lakachti." Right over there. So the rabbi says, "What are you talking about?" Said, "Very nice. You found two words that are almost similar. Almost similar." And you said, "Okay, Gezra Shava, boom. In Keshet." And anyway, he asked a simple question. He says, "And Avraham Avinu, where there was a water shortage, where he was living in L.A., where was he living, Avraham Avinu? He was in Aram Naraim, wherever he was. There was no water shortage. When it came to giving him meat, 3 tons with hardal. When it comes to water, ma'at mayim. So he says, big hadush. Mayim is always an analogy to other things. Mayim is water. I know mayim is water. H2O, whatever you call it. But mayim is other things also. Torah is compared to water. You heard that before?
Yeah.
So he proves that teshuvah is also compared to water. Now you can't just say it. What's his proof? Because he says the pasuk in Erka that says, "Shifchi kamayim libech." When a person makes teshuvah, how does he make teshuvah? Cries. "Shifchi kamayim," you cry, you make teshuvah. No. So he says, "Mayim is teshuvah." You know what Avraham Avinu was doing over there? So Avraham Avinu was making a psak, he was making like a halachic ruling of a gadol ador. When it comes to teshuvah, you kahna me'at mayim. Even if you take a little water, even if you do a little, that's the me'at mayim that I told you from the Bi'akiva. That's the me'at mayim of the sprinkler. Not the water of 40 se'av and mikveh. The 40 se'av and mikveh, that's once in a lifetime. You kahna me'at mayim. Take the waters of the parad, there's a sprinkling like that. And that brought v'lakachti etchem. You know why? Because when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they were on the 49th level of Tum'ah. You talk about the Havazonah, the whole nation was on the 49th level of... Where are you taking these people? Borei Olam said, "I have to figure out a way. Do something before you leave. Do something." So he gave them 2 token mitzvot, just so they could do something. They didn't make teshuvah shelimah, Am Yisrael. They did a brit milah, and they had a barbecue. They made a korban pesach. Borei Olam said, "That's the pinhole. Okay, that's all I needed." You would think if you're on the 49th level of Tum'ah, and you go to the rabbi for a tikkun, he's going to give you a tikkun from here to tomorrow. And the rabbi tells you, "No problem. Do a little operation. Moshe will do it for you. You won't feel anything. And tomorrow night, have a barbecue with your family. Have a barbecue. Yeah, just make sure you roast it. Don't do this. Give some rules in the barbecue. Give some halakhot. Beautiful. Then what? But have in mind, it's to Hashem. Pesach who? Hashem. Okay. And then what? Then that's all I need. I saw you with the bloods of the Milah and the bloods of Pesach. You're resurrected. Hey, but we're still on the 49th level. Okay. You made the hole. So therefore, who taught us that? You can make a small teshuvah and get fixed. That's Avraham Avinu. You kahna me'at mayim. That already brought the lakachti etchem li na'am. If it wasn't for Avraham Avinu that invented this inyan of me'at mayim, then we don't have a chance. Then already God says all or nothing. But it's not all or nothing. It's gradual. Of course the goal is to keep Tariq Mitzvot Rabotai. I didn't come here to preach you that you should become a mediocre guy and take you away from becoming Tzadikim, Hazal Shalom. But I'm talking about in each mitzvah. When you're biting off each mitzvah, you have to bite off a piece of the mitzvah. When you're trying to overcome an avera, you have to overcome part of the avera. You can't always just go full force, because sometimes it won't work. Just sprinkle yourself a drop, and everybody will be able to. They're coming to the shiurim over here, but that's not a small hole. That's already. And they ask the benu ari, the Chaim Vital ask the benu ari. What I'm saying now is the most important part of the whole class, by the way. It doesn't work. You think because I'm at the end of the barrel, so all the now all the leftovers are coming out. It's the opposite. You say, okay, we heard about an hour of this stuff. What did you say now? Right now, he's pulling from under the ground, the dirt. I'm giving you now the biggest hadith that we said in the whole hour. The uncle. The Chaim Vital asked Rabbeinu Ari a strong question. He said, Rabbi, where's the Mashiach? And he said, no, he's coming. He says, I don't believe he could come. Why don't you believe he could come? He says, he didn't come in the generation of the Biudah Nasi. He didn't come in the generation of Bet Shemayim Bet Hillel. He didn't come in the generation of Rishtakish and of Yohanan. He didn't come in these generations. He's going to come in. Is our generation like that? No, certainly not. Tanaim like Malachim. Yishorim ke Malachim. Anuk ibn Adam. So he said a spam question. He said, if he didn't come in that generation, how is he coming in this generation? You know what the Ben Wari said? He said, everything is relative. You think Einstein made the theory of relativity? Mm-hmm. Ben Ari made the theory of relativity. It's all relative. He said, Borei Olam doesn't judge just the level of the tzidkut. He judges the atmosphere and the culture. He says, and therefore in our generation that reached such a low level and there's still Jews doing Torah mitzvot, our service is greater than the Tanaim. And where did he say? Where did the Arizal live? The Arizal lived in Las Vegas. The Arizal lived in Sfat 500 years ago. You know how holy Sfat was 500 years ago? Even today, besides some of the kooks that are there, but it's an unbelievable kadosh place. A couple of artists, a couple of funny people. Otherwise, it's an unbelievable place, Sfat. Could you imagine what Sfat was 500 years ago? And what does the Arizal say? Even though our generation is the worst, and if we're still religious in this generation, what would that Arizal say about today? That means if God's looking down in Shammai and says, what? There's still Jews that have Erev Shabbat? 2016, there's still Jews that are reading Shtayim Mikra V'Had Targum? In America, with the 49th level of Tumah on the head, there's still Jews that are going to go now to the Mikveh Nechvot Shabbat. There's still Jews that are going to go Friday night to have Kiddush? Give us! And Shammai makes big noise. That Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai made Kiddush. That the Arizal, he says, listen, for us it's a Kiddush that we're making Kiddush. But 500 years later, he says, the small mitzvot and the small overcoming of Averot that is done in the later generation is greater than the earlier. So therefore, everything we're doing in Rabotai is creating tremendous noise in Shammai. You shouldn't say, again, no one's going to give you kavod. You're going to leave the class over here. Where are you? Where Rabbi says, oh, you idiot. It's 10 o'clock. What are you doing? What are you doing? Rabbi doesn't let you out. In jail for how long? You're here from early in the morning. You won't get kabod for this on this earth over here. But in Shamayim, if you only know, when they look at us in Seudah Shlishit, in Borei Olam, in Shamayim, in Seudah, when you have Seudah, in the Bet Knesset, they see the owl, they see the rabbi giving the rash, everybody's sitting listening. They're looking at, what is this over here? What is this happening over here? This is in New York City. Rabbis of Israel cannot imagine what they're seeing. Could you imagine in Shammai when they're looking down over here and saying, so you cannot minimize yourself, Rabotai. Don't minimize yourself. Your actions are greater in a certain way than the Tanaim. If somebody would come and tell you, you're greater than the Biudan Nasi, you say, hey, calm down, don't fall flat on me. I'm not interested in Hanupan, Letzanut. Not. That's the Arizal said. So therefore, all the things that we're doing today, even though they might not be on the level, which means kavanot and purity, but since the atmosphere is very, very, very seductive to the other way. You ever see a salmon? I saw salmon swimming upstream. Yeah, in Alaska. They're swimming, you can't believe it. There's a current going like very fast downstream. And then you see salmon going, it's like a guy drunk driving, going the wrong lane. You say, everybody's going this way, the salmon's going the other way. So the rabbi said, an amazing halakha, halakha and Shulchan Aruch. A lady brings a chicken to the rabbi, kosher bird. Is the bird kasher or not? What's the question? The wing has a little blemish. The rabbi looks. He says, I have to test it. The bird's still alive. It's a mum or not a mum? How did the rabbi test it? Today they have an app, but in the old days, how did they test it? They take the bird and they throw it in the water. If the bird is able to swim upstream, it's kasher. That means the wing is strong, it can propel itself against the current. But if it's not strong and the water takes it downstream, he doesn't have power in that wing. So the rabbi's learned a lesson over here. The Jewish people are compared to a bird, like a yonah. You know when a Jewish person's kasher? When he can swim against the current. Then you're kasher. But a guy goes with the flow, you're weak. Then you're taref. The key is to go against the current. Now you're kasher. That's why we once explained, there was a rabbi called Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had an amazing koach. Rabbi Meir, he used to check names. You tell him your name, he'll tell you if you're a good guy or a bad guy. Rabbi Meir and his friends go to a hotel one day. They get to the hotel, they check in Erev Shabbat, everybody has their money, their wallets. So they tell the guy in the concierge, you have a vault? Yeah, no problem, I have a vault. Good, we want to give you our money. Yeah, no problem, sign over here. We started with locks, we end with locks. You see, we went around full circle over here. You see, we went around full circle. Don't say it. I didn't remember what we started to talk about. We start with locks, we end with locks. We start with the vault, we end with the vault. No, that's why I said it's also Torah. You remember I told you it's Torah? So now what happens? He comes along and says, you have a vault? Yeah. So Rabbi Meir says, slow down. Hey, slow down. You didn't ask the guy his name. What's the difference what his name is? It says his name on the thing. Hi, my name is Kidor. So he says, Kidor? No good. I wouldn't give him the money. I tell him, Rabbi Meir, what are you talking? That's Kidor. The guy's name is Ephraim. What's the difference what his name is? They gave him the money. Gave him the money. Motzei Shabbat, Shavu Atov, Umevorach. We're going downstairs. Where are you going downstairs to pick up the money? Kidor is at the desk. Kidor, we like our money. What money? Oh, those days there was no security cameras or nothing. The money we gave you ahead of Shabbat. La Hadam, lo hayu devarim me'olam. La Hadam, I don't know who you are. And please, next customer, please. Yeah, next customer. Say, hey, but they got to come on. Please, next customer. Please, we don't have time for you over here. They go upstairs to the room. Rabbi Meir is laughing. What happened to me? I told you. How did you know? Because the Pasuk says, Kidor tahpuchot hema banim lo imun bam. Kidor lo imun bam. You can't trust them. Kidor. So I saw once in one of the great banim. He said, Kidor is a name that's pasul. What does that mean? He says, anybody that goes according to the generation, you follow the style of the generation, you follow the moda of the generation, so then what's your name is Kidor. You like the door, you don't like the generation. Whatever the new Yetzirah of the generation is, you're right there. If you're Kidor, finished. You're not supposed to be like Kidor. You're supposed to go against the generation. Avraham Avinu stood on the other side. So all the more so in this generation where it's very easy to become a Kidor. And the guy goes to the other side, even in a small way, you show a little, guy wears an arbak and forth on his body. He shows something to the Borei Olam. When he goes out to eat, he looks for an OU on the package. You know, something small, just to show that he's different. Borei Olam says, that's a big, big item. And then Be'ezat Hashem, Borei Olam will fulfill what it says, Shuvu Banim Shuvavim, that during this time we will be able to come back. And we trust Borei Olam on everything. Chutz Mitzeh. But if he tells us to get out, then they're ready. שלום.